Hi, we're back at the Radio Cafe at the Santa Fe Baking Company, and I'm Hollis Walker, sitting in for Mary Charlotte. My guest this morning, my second guest, is Dennis, you're going to have to tell me if I'm saying it right, Gromelski.
Exactly. Say it like it's spelled, right?
Dennis Gromelski, who's the director of Fusion Theater Company of Albuquerque. I believe it's the only professional theater company in the state.
Yeah, we're the only producing equity theater.
Equity theater,
company.
And Fusion is producing Christopher Durang's newest and Tony Award-winning play, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, this weekend at the Lenzic Theater. So just to start off with, I want to make sure everybody knows there's a show Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 2 and 8 p.m. And, of course, you can go online to the Lenzic, lenzic.org, or call the Lenzic, 988-7050 for tickets. I have a feeling you're going to want to do that. So, Dennis, first, Christopher Durang, absurdist, really well-known American playwright of our times. Tell me about him. Tell us about him.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that he was also a Yale graduate. He graduated from the Yale School of Drama, along with some other notables, including Sigourney Weaver, who had a role in Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike.
On Broadway.
On Broadway, yes. And Christopher Durang's last, the last time that he had a show open on Broadway was in 1994, actually.
Wow.
It had been a while. I guess it could be classified. A lot of his very funny, topical theater pieces were not really big time for the mainstream.
Right.
this piece is in essence a send off or a send up of quite a bit of Chekhov. Many Chekhov plays are alluded to, and even down to the title characters, except for the Spike part, of course. And
right. So all the Vanya, Uncle Vanya,
right,
and Sonia and Masha are all characters in Chekhov plays.
Yes, exactly. Right. And there's a lot of reference to Chekhov plays. And one of the really neat things that we've been seeing about this, we opened this play on 12 days after it closed.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
Right.
Yeah, it was a great stroke of fortune there. But we opened it, and we've had a sellout run at the Cell Theater in Albuquerque, capacity audiences in Las Cruces, and we're really, really excited to bring this to Santa Fe. One of the great things that we're seeing is that folks that do understand or know Chekhov, there's a lot of a lot of giggles that maybe the entire audience isn't hearing or understanding, although it's completely a piece that you don't need in any way to know any Chekhov. It's set in contemporary Pennsylvania.
Yeah, you can get it on one level, and then if you know the Chekhov, you'll just have extra giggles, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting, and it is like Chekhov. There's this very absurdist, what is going on here? I'm not sure I know what's going on here, but I like it kind of feeling about this play.
Yeah, and it carries on a lot of the Chekhov themes as well. And one of the things that we've very conscientiously tried to do in this production, let me just say, we choose our season on the merits of the writing. And it's very rare where any of our production team actually sees a production of the play that we're going to be producing. After we knew that we were going to acquire the rights to the show, I happened to have a lazy Wednesday afternoon one day in New York, and I went and saw the show. And one of the things that struck me about the production in New York was they really played strongly to the levels of high farce and comedy, and I think a lot of what was lost, and I think that it was probably due to audience expectations of it, because they did have David Hyde Pierce was in it, Christine Nelson, folks that are big names. The kind of scenario when one of the actors walks on stage, there's going to be all kinds of applause, you know, just for the actor, not for the piece that you're seeing.
Sigourney Weaver, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver, exactly. Mm-hmm. And what we've really tried to focus on in this production, with keeping all of the humor, of course, is the familial relationships and really kind of making this a human piece in the way that that Chekhov might have the way that Chekhov might have looked at a Durang piece, for instance.
Right. I think Chekhov would approve, actually. So, so let's tell the audience what this play is about, on the surface at least. Those themes you were talking about.
Yeah, well, on the surface, it's about a family, a brother and a sister, and a very pointedly made an adopted sister. They have been caring for their parents, who have both had Alzheimer's and died. They've been caring, been healthcare providers for years and years, and end up living in the family home and staying there, getting into their early to mid-50s, and really not knowing any other life, not knowing how to leave or escape. The home, however, is owned by a third sibling, and that sibling is Masha. And Masha wasn't around for any of the health, care of their parents. She, however, went off and became a famous movie star, although she fancied herself destined for the classical stage. Of course, she ended up in a grade B series of slasher movies and made the money that enabled them to remain in the house. So out of the blue one day, the woman, takes place in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. There's a woman that she purchased Dorothy Parker's old house and is inviting all of the rich and famous neighbors to come to a party at her house. And Masha strolls into town basically unannounced, with a series of costumes for her family and a 20-something-year-old boy toy that she's picked up along the way.
This is Spike.
This yes, this would be Spike. And much laughter ensues. Yeah.
Yeah, and the neighbor girl shows up, right?
Yes, another classic character, and another classic Chekhov character named Nina from The Seagull. Of course, Nina does show up and adds to the thickening plot. Yeah.
And there aren't really, I mean, it's interesting, none of these characters would fit into what we might think of as ordinary or normal or psychologically stable human beings, in a way.
Well, the longer I get in the tooth, I lose complete sense of what is normal.
Yeah. Right. But their behavior and the way they talk to one another is very, very strange. There's the incident with the coffee cups in the very early part of the play.
Yeah, the brother and sister are have been living with each other so long. They're basically not only siblings, but an old married couple without being married, having gone through a lot of the same life experiences and yet being very different, and insulated. They don't get out a lot, uh-huh, out into the community. So when Masha comes in, it creates some action for the storyline when they do end up going to this costume party, and what happens then when they're introduced to the outside world.
Right, and Masha is the older sister, being this incredibly manipulative person who is entirely concerned and with her, she's very narcissistic, I guess would be the way to put it.
Well, she's a movie star, and at one point she says, yes, a classical stage lost the American Judy Dench, but gained a global superstar, you know, in her sexy killer movies.
Right.
And so there's quite a bit of that attitude that needs to be fleshed out during the course of the script. Yeah.
So why specifically did you want to do this play?
The play originated at the MacArthur Theater in Princeton, New Jersey, and then had a run at Lincoln Center off Broadway before moving to Broadway. Each year, one of the things that we kind of find our responsibility to be to the citizens of New Mexico is to, and our history fleshes that out, is that we're looking for the most recent works of high merit from the global stages. You know, we often produce works first off in the nation, like Vanya is as well, with the first theater company to produce it nationally. It's a national regional premiere. And to be able to flesh out works like that for the citizens of New Mexico, you know, it matters. You know, it matters that New Mexico is here. You know, we're trying to provide theatrical art on a level that has been unprecedented here, and you know, we see no reason why, you know, why can't Santa Fe get a piece before at the same time San Francisco or Chicago, and it's worked out quite well. The other pieces in our season kind of reflect that as well. They're all regional premieres of award-winning works, also.
Wonderful.
So this whole idea of bringing these works to New Mexico. I mean, how cool is it that, you know, for instance, Las Cruces is opening a show in an underutilized historic theater, 100-year-old theater, before the Berkeley Rep,
right?
With a $20 million budget in Berkeley, California. You know, I mean, it's pretty neat stuff, and we work very hard at being able to bring that. Now, having said that, just because a work is new, obviously, doesn't mean it's any good. So
right.
We actually were working on the rights to the show before it went into the award season, and the play won Outer Critics Circle Drama Desk Award, and then eventually we had our fingers crossed. We had two dogs in that race, but eventually it did win the Tony Award as well, which made it kind of nerve-wracking for us, because we were scheduled to open on September 5th,
uh-huh.
And the show, because of the Tony, ended up extending twice.
Wow. you were crossing your fingers for another reason then, weren't you?
Yeah, it's like, okay, extended a second time, but definitely not a third. Nobody go to the show.
You've got to let this go so we can have it. Well, you know, I mean, Dennis, this is really big, to me at least, because we in Santa Fe take for granted that we have world-class opera, that we have world-class classical music that comes here. And to feel like we're getting, you know, world class, very, you know, just the very latest thing in theater as well. I'm not putting down anything that we do have. I'm just saying that it's not every day that we get a play that just closed on Broadway.
Yeah, it's not. And those are extraordinary, I'll call it, because it's not out of the it's not ordinary. Those extraordinary moments and productions that we're bringing, that's really going to be our, not raison d'etre, but our modus operandi.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to stop doing that. There is something to be said about quality, something to be said for quality, and that is something that we always strive for in whatever we do, in representing our patronage, in representing our artists, and representing and our funders, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think quality resonates, and that has been recognized over the course of our 13-year history now. I must say, as I always do, that Santa Fe is so fortunate. I travel quite a bit. I'm very fortunate in my life to be able to travel around the country and around the world. And living in Albuquerque, actually, Santa Fe is so fortunate to have the Lensic Performing Arts Center. It is truly a world-class facility, and we have the privilege of being able to see it from the backside out. The way that things are done there, talk about quality, it's pretty amazing thing you have in town here. Bob Martin is, as a curator of the majority of the work there, some of the choices he makes are really daring and stunning, and there's always something. I often lament the fact, actually, don't tell anyone in Albuquerque I said that, but I often lament the fact that I'm not closer here in town,
right,
to be able to attend more of the events.
And we're
thrilled to be... to have our full season on board as well again this year.
Great. I just want to mention, for anybody who's just tuned in, I'm talking with Dennis Gromelski. He's the director of Fusion Theater Company of Albuquerque, which is presenting Christopher Durang's newest and Tony Award-winning play, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, this weekend at the Lensic. It's Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. And as usual, you can get tickets online from lensic.org, or you can call the Lensic 988-7050 and make sure you've got a ticket, because it could sell out. You never know.
That would be terrific.
Wouldn't that
yeah.
be fun? So tell me, Dennis, did you, in the staging of this play, is there anything unusual you've done? When you work with a piece like this, do you adjust it or do anything to it to make it resonate more with New Mexican audiences?
It's pretty clearly set in Bucks County,
right.
Pennsylvania. And actually the unique challenge that we often face is that our home theater is a 62-seat venue, the Cell Theater in Albuquerque. I say that, we now have about four home venues. The reason that we still perform there, we've long outgrown the space. But the reason we still perform there is because of the... because of our patronage there would probably lynch us if we,
right.
if we moved somewhere else permanently. So in order to be able to financially stay in the small space, because even with complete sellout audiences there, we lose money
of
performing
course.
There. We do perform in the Chemo Theater, just recently in the Albuquerque Academy, the South Broadway Cultural Center, much larger venues. And then, of course, the Lensic and the Rio Grande Theater in Las Cruces. The challenge is with the set and how we are going to design the set, because things look very different from 5 feet away than they do from 50. And one of the wonderful things that we've been able to do, we perform in a rectangular space. So we have one long wall at our small theater that actually, believe it or not, we have to reduce often the size of the set to fit the Lensic. Because it's actually, because what we try to do in these larger spaces, and that's one of the great things at the Lensic, is that we play front, almost in thrust, we play in front of the proscenium arch. So we're as downstage as we possibly can be. There is no curtain that's closing between acts or anything. So you're right in the action. It feels, because of the nature of the Lensic as an old movie house as well, with the balcony up close, it really lends a sense of intimacy for the performances. So our designers are designing for, with all of the different venues in mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So blocking and everything has to be done with that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And oftentimes it changes. It will change from venue to venue, because generally in our small space there's only one side that we exit from.
Right, and you take two steps to get close to the other person, whereas on the Lensic stage you might have to take eight.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a change for everyone.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, we're working with professionals, and that's so exciting. As always, we firmly, and from the day we opened, firmly believe in New Mexico's talent base. You know, it's, as you know, the longer you live here, the more interesting people you meet, and with interesting
right.
stories about how they ended up here.
There's this conceit that comes with people who move here, who from New York or LA or wherever they're from, usually, you know, and they think that this is the backwater. New Mexico is a backwater, although I guess we should say back desert.
recently
backwater, yeah. And that, you know, whatever talent there is here is accidental, and surely they leave as soon as they can. And then, after you're here a while, you find out that's not true at all. There's so many talented people here. So, speaking of, who's directing and who's in this piece?
Gil Lazier is our director for this piece, and he directed last season's Other Desert Cities. Before that, he directed God of Carnage, Parlor Song, and a couple other plays for it. He's the former, he's Dean Emeritus at the Florida State University Theater System. He ran the Oslo Acting, their repertory company, for about 25 years or so. Terrifically talented, knowledgeable. I'm so sorry he couldn't be here today. He's actually off in St. Petersburg.
Mm.
He had a production in years ago. He went to direct a piece in Russia, and it ended up running in Moscow for 10 years. Yeah, Neil Simon's I Oughta Be in Pictures. He directed it in Russian, and it had a 10-year run in Moscow. So he's a bit of a superstar over
Who
there.
Knew Neil Simon could translate into a Russian consciousness, even?
And this is USSR period of time,
yeah.
too.
Wow.
Yeah. So he directed the piece. He's put a lovely hand on it. We have four New Mexicans, or four New Mexican residents in the piece. One of our co-founders, Jacqueline Reed, does a great turn in this. The Tony nominee and Obie Award winning Joanne Camp, her and her husband Shep Sobel, had founded the Pearl Theater in New York and ran it for about 25 years, a classical theater company. We have Bruce Holmes, who is a regular on our stage as well. Ross Kelly, an actor who grew up and has worked quite a bit with us in the past in Albuquerque, but now lives in Los Angeles. an incredible actress and director, Elizabeth Huffman, from Portland, Oregon, and a relative newcomer to our stage, Andrea Augusto, who plays the role of the young ingenue, Nina.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, just so adorably, too.
Who's your favorite character in this play? I don't mean favorite actor. I mean favorite character, do you think?
The neat thing in this is that, and the more we fleshed it out, every character, as all good theater writing has, every character has a very specific arc mm-hmm. to their character. And what's neat in this play is that each of these characters does kind of have their solo. There is a monologue, or there are moments that each character, you get to really flesh out and see the inside of who these characters are and empathize with them.
Yeah. It is interesting, having just read the play, I should say. I haven't seen it. I've only read it. But that despite the fact that Masha, for example, is rather the older sibling who's the movie star, is rather despicable in many ways, by the end of the play, you care about her, and you see why she is the way she is, and what's really going on inside of her.
They're Chekhov, you know. There's human tragedy, comedy, all of it. I just find it almost preposterous—not preposterous, but such an odd mix to have Christopher Durang playing with this piece and having written this piece. And I think the American theatrical lexicon is definitely better off for it. It's got a little bit of everything. You know, it does. It's not high drama.
No.
It's got some high themes, but it's imminently accessible, slapsticky even in some moments. The character of Spike is just... you just got to see the character of Spike and what he brings to the show. And the other thing that the show really does is it's incredibly cross-generational.
Uh-huh.
That one particular monologue that Vanya has in the second act
yes.
is a direct assault on the mores of our younger our Twitter generation,
yes.
I guess.
Yeah, he's basically doing a nostalgia trip on what life was like and when he grew up. And yeah, you can see that anyone, my mother, who's 85, would totally love that rant, you know, totally connect into it. So
this play is for anyone who knows who Macklemore is, as well as Senor Wences.
Senor Wences. Oh my gosh, when he mentioned that, I just cracked up.
Now, I do have to say, I did, during pieces of that monologue, I did have to Google some of it. Being the young pup that
I am. You are a young pup. So we have just a little bit of time left here. Tell us a little bit more about Fusion Theater Company for people who don't know.
Well, Fusion began 12 and a half years ago. We actually got our nonprofit paperwork through about 6 weeks after 9/11. So, very difficult time to be a nonprofit theater company. Our reason for founding was our two other co-founders, that would be Jacqueline Reed and Laurie Thomas, are both professional equity actors who both came to New Mexico, not initially of their own choosing. They've chosen to stay, but they came to New Mexico through circumstances they had with their partners. And there was limited opportunity for them to work locally. During those years, Shakespeare in Santa Fe was offering employment both during the summer and also during their school tours. Through Santa Fe Stages, there was a bit of opportunity. Southwest Rep was existing in Albuquerque at that time, but all within two or three years of our opening up our doors, they all decided to close. And so during the last decade, actually, we've been the only operating professional theater company. And from day one, we have indeed been an equity company, a full season equity company, which means, in essence, that we contract for a season, declaring that we're going to hire a minimum number of actors and stage managers throughout the course of the year. We post a substantial bond in order to make sure that will happen. Like any other employer, our largest expenses are pension and health care. especially after the letter I got yesterday about the health care, pension and health care. And we have been very fortunate to have been able to employ such a widely diverse group of New Mexicans consistently. It's been a dream. Our design team has been together. The newest kid on the block with the design team has been there for 10 years. Mm. So when you go into a production, our productions are very tight. Everyone comes in ready to work, working on your feet. There's not a lot of table work going on, looking at scripts and talking about things. It is getting right into the meat of the play from our first rehearsal.
Yeah, these are pros. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And Dennis, have you been the director since the very beginning?
Well, actually, I'm the executive director of the company.
Sorry.
Yeah. I leave the onstage artistic talent.
If you say director in theater world, people get confused. You're the executive director, but have you?
I'm in essence, I produce the shows.
Uh-huh. And so, have you been in that role since the group began?
It kind of fell on me, as I said. My two partners in the 501c3 initially when we started are both actors and directors. Mm. Very fine artists, and I let them do what they do well.
I've been talking with Dennis Gromelski. He's executive director at Fusion Theater Company of Albuquerque. They're presenting Christopher Durang's newest play, which just won the Tony Award, Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. I just love saying that. This weekend at the Lenzig Theater, Friday at 8 and Saturday at 2 and 8 p.m. For tickets, as always, you can go online to the Lenzig, just lenzig.org, or call 988-7050. You better do it fast. I read this play. It's fabulous. Thank you so much for being with me, Dennis.
Thank you, Hollis. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Hollis Walker. I've been sitting in for Mary Charlotte.